this thing working?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And hopefully the problems that we've been having with the technical side of things over the last couple of weeks, really, is resolved now, because it's really, really annoying. Now, as those of you who were here last week may well remember, I was having this problem with white noise. And it had happened before. It happened before I went on vacation. And I was trying to figure out, you know, well, what could be causing that? What could be, you know? And it was hardly clear what was going on, but it happened again last week. And it's just so frustrating when, you know, you set up things, you prepare material, you do all this stuff, and then things go horribly, horribly wrong. I think just kind of after about 20 minutes on the last show, we just kind of gave up. And hopefully things will go better this time. And I want to publicly thank people who helped me out, Sean Riches and Mikey Holt, and all the people who helped me out this past week in trying to iron out the problem. Because what we decided to do was, you know, whenever you have a technical problem, you want to find out what's causing it, or even more importantly, find out what's not causing it. So we tried to reverse engineer what was going on and tried to actually make it happen, and in the process of actually trying to make it happen, figure out how we could prevent it, if you know what I'm saying. So that's sort of what we had going on over the week. And I have my own Ustream channel, which I never use for broadcast, but I'm using it as test. And I was actually on for the first 15 minutes of Chris Reardon's show this morning, which means I wasn't listening to Chris Reardon for the first 15 minutes. Oh, heaven forbid. And I actually was able to do this test broadcast, didn't have any trouble. But whenever we were doing these test broadcasts with Sean, we didn't have any trouble either. So it's still a mystery, folks. I still don't know what was causing this. Hang on just a moment. As usual, I'm not quite as well prepared as I should be. And I forgot to plug in my headset. So I'm sitting here just talking, and it doesn't matter until I take a call. But still, you know, you really have to be prepared, folks. It's very unprofessional if you're not prepared. So anyway, welcome to the program. I'm the King Heathen. I'm the chief of all the atheists here on United Kingdom Radio. And we won't have any talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary on this program. So I want to say hello to a few people who I know are out there. Hello to Oscar. Hello to Sean. Hello to Mikey, and hello to anybody else, of course, who's out there. Now, my topic for today is the great outdoors, and I know that there's a lot of opinions that vary on this topic, because I talked about this a little bit before. Excuse me there. Okay, so now we're all set. And I think that it's really interesting how, in our modern society, people have such a strange relationship with nature. And I don't mean this in some kind of hippy-dippy, you know, interconnectedness of the world kind of way. I actually mean this more in a just sort of getting on with your life kind of way. And one thing I've noticed, and certainly among the younger people who I've had contact with through this radio station, is that a lot of these kids, or young adults, I guess you should really call them, because none of them are really kids. They're you know, teenagers. You know, they're almost grown up. But a lot of them seem to have this sort of idea about nature that it's something to be avoided. And I think back to when I was a teenager and trying to remember, you know, what my attitude towards it was. And I spent a lot of time outdoors when I was a kid. And of course, indeed, when I was a teenager, and I was living in Southwest Florida for most of my teenage years, and spent a lot of time, I lived on a subtropical barrier island, a place called Sanibel Island, and probably a lot of you have heard of it, because it's a popular vacation spot with Europeans, and particularly people from the UK, because it's a place where people go for shelling. And I was never a big fan of the beach. I would go to the beach every once in a while, but the beach is not, to me, that's not nature. That, to me, is the beach, and to me, it's an entirely different thing. Now, while listening to the station, I've known that there are other people out there who, on the station, hosts who really do appreciate nature. I know that Chris Reardon has often spoken about his admiration for the wilderness. He likes the wilderness. And I'm kind of the same way. Mikey Holt sends a message along. Hello, Mikey. Hooray, no Bible rubbish. Well, you know, I talked about that more on my pre-recorded show. And I have news about that actually in a minute as well. But let me get to the point. You know, don't rush me. I'm still talking about my topic. And of course, if anyone would like to call in and chat with their about what they think about wilderness and nature, and you know, and if you're not somebody who is a nature person, if you're somebody who, you know, really hates this whole idea of going outside, I'd be interested in kind of hearing why. You know, is it just a matter of not wanting to get dirty? You know, I just don't get it, because one of the things that I've been all about probably since I was a teenager is this whole idea of, you know, going outside and enjoying nature. And it doesn't matter if you get a little bit dirty or sandy or dusty or whatever. And as many of you know, if you've been following this show for any length of time, is that I am a keen hiker. And I like to do these long distance hikes. And yeah, I'm not in the greatest shape. I don't, you know, I'm not some uber athlete type person. But at the same time, I have this real appreciation for going out and being out in nature. And not, like I said, in a hippy-dippy kind of way, feeling one with nature. Ooh, feeling one. Yeah. It's not like that. But it definitely gives you a sense of being part of the world as being separated from the world. And you could go trace this idea of being separated from the world way, way, way back. I mean, it's actually a theological idea that humans are somehow above the rest of the world. And I wonder if in some ways in our culture this has led to this whole idea, oh, nature's icky. So if anybody has any thoughts on that comment, or anything else indeed, you can call and you can Skype the show. Let me play the contact jingle for you.
Chaps, contacting the United Kingdom could not be easier. Oh. You can contact us via the telephone 020-3287-1488. Or if you have Skype, call us on United Kingdom Radio. All one word, United Kingdom Radio. Oh. Remember, your call is important to us.
And indeed, your call is important to us here on United Kingdom Radio. I'm very pleased to announce that the Skype does, and indeed the stream do seem to be working properly. And if I'm going to have problems with it, I will have had problems with it by now. So thanks, everybody. Now, the other thing that's been going on this week, this has been kind of an emotional week for me, because as everybody knows, I've been doing this podcast over on TomHarrisUSA.com. which is called, imaginatively enough, Tom Harris USA. And this week was the 100th episode of Tom Harris USA. And over the past few months, I've been kind of thinking of you know, kind of going off and trying something different. And I realized that I wasn't going to be able to go off and put a lot of energy into trying something different as long as I was doing that show, this show, and the other stuff that I do that you guys probably don't ever hear. So I decided to go ahead and suspend Tom Harris USA for a while, go on hiatus, and try something different. And of course, I've got several things that I'm doing that are in the works, and I'm, you know, it's not me going away, but it has been very strange, because it feels in a lot of ways like I'm saying goodbye. And I'm really not, because here I am still doing this show here. And I'm also working on Plain Dudes Radio, which is another series that I'm involved with. I got a message here from Zach. Zach says, Tom, I suppose today kids are more interested in what is on the box than nature, because the idea of being with nature is easier and influenced by the media. Yeah, and it's interesting that a lot of what people are watching on the box is nature programs, but I do agree with you there. But, you know, it's interesting to me. Now, I live in Chicago, Illinois. I live in a big city. And we are here, you know, surrounded by concrete and buildings and people, and it's a high density of population where I live. I live on the north side of Chicago. But here and there we have bits of nature. And we have the city parks here in Chicago. Now, I used to live in a city called Cleveland, which is in Ohio. And Cleveland is a very, very green place. There's a lot of nature in the city. It's the way the city was planned, and that we have big parks, big, beautiful parks. And then all around the city, we have the series of metro parks, which is called the Emerald Necklace. So you can be living right in the middle of downtown Cleveland and drive for 20 minutes and then be out in the wilderness with nobody around. And it's really, really exciting growing up in that sort of accessibility to nature. We don't quite have that here in Chicago, but we have little bits of nature here and there. And I've been discovering a lot of that very recently because of Paul Edwards. Believe it or not, it had to do with Paul Edwards. And I talked about this on my podcast already, but Paul did a show a few weeks ago about something, a hobby that he enjoys called geocaching. And I'd heard of geocaching before. I hadn't really thought much about it, but I'd heard of it and I kind of knew what it was. And listening to Paul, he played out this TV show, I think it was, the audio or radio show or something about geocaching. And it sounded really interesting. And I got intrigued enough that I went out and got a miniature GPS system. And it's not anything expensive or fancy or anything. It's a very basic, and it's a toy, but it works. And so I have become very interested in this geocaching thing. And for the last several weeks, I've been going around discovering the geocaches here in Chicago. Amazingly enough, there's a bunch of them around. You know, even in the city, people are hiding these things. And what geocaching is, essentially, it's a treasure hunt. And somebody will take an item and they will hide it somewhere where people can discover it. So it'd be not usually on private property. It'd be like in a city park or a city access way or something. And they'll hide it so that, you know, you can't just find it by looking, you know, glancing at it. And they'll record the GPS coordinates of this thing online. It's a site called geocaching.com. And you go out and with your GPS and you track this thing down. And then inside there's usually a piece of paper that you write your name on, you know, to say, you know, basically that you were there. And you record this online. And it's this huge community of people. There's thousands of these things all over the place. All over. And even here in the city, there's a bunch. And so I've been having a lot of fun getting out of the house or on my way home from work. And going out and exploring. And I'm finding some really interesting little city parks and things as the result of this geocaching thing. So let it never be said that Paul Edwards has never influenced me for the better, because he certainly has, folks. Yeah, Paul here, he does a show here on, is it Monday? I think it's on Monday. I'm so behind. People keep changing. People keep changing stuff. And people keep changing when they're on. Incidentally, if anyone was listening to Paul's show, I think it might have been Monday, it might have been Thursday. He had Richard Vobes on his show. What an interesting show that was. I really, really like that. Zach says, there's so much serenity in the country areas. Yeah, that's very true. And incidentally, right after the show today, I'm going to be going with my boyfriend Pete out into the countryside and maybe do some geocaching. But I think the real thing we're going to be going and doing is a canoe trip. And canoe down the Fox River, which is something we've done a number of times before. And I suppose I've got nature on the brain at the moment because of that. And yeah, because I'm going to be going out. And you know, last time we were canoeing out on the Fox River, it was absolutely gorgeous out. It was a little bit gray and a little bit chilly because it was in the fall. But we saw bald eagles and we saw, of course, other wildlife as well. So that was really exciting. And I really did enjoy that quite a bit. All right, so if anybody would like to call in, the Skype lines are indeed open. The Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. If you're in the UK, you can phone in. And the phone number for contacting us is 020 877-381-4488. Now, if you're listening live, then you'll know that it is Saturday, August 28th, and the time is 10:18 a.m. here in Chicago, 4:18 p.m. over in the UK. And if you're listening at that time, then you know that this is going out live. All right, so I do have a couple of features here that I normally do on the show. And the first one I'm going to do today is the Judge for Yourself. And I know that there are a few people out there who enjoy Judge for Yourself, but I'm not getting a lot of response. So I'm going to do the first part of Judge for Yourself right now. And then we will play the answer to Judge for Yourself at the end of the show. So here we go. This is part one of Judge for Yourself. And thanks to my friend Scott Mitchell for making up these little bits for me. So here we go. This is Judge for Yourself number 5.
Judge for Yourself. This is the case of Without Consent. Barbara donated a grandfather clock that was a family heirloom to a hospital fundraiser. The clock was auctioned off to the Turners. However, before the transaction could be completed, Barbara's sister Clara, who was co-owner of the clock, found out about the donation and protested to the auctioneer that Barbara had no right to sell the clock without Clara's consent. The Turners contested the auctioneer's decision to rescind the transaction. And the Turners were the people who bought it at auction. Did the court rule for or against the Turners?
And if you can Skype in, you can say what you think about that. Did the judge rule for the people who bought the clock or not? And that's the Judge for Yourself for this week. And I'm going to do the answer, of course, at the very end of the show. Now, also on the show, we have the Name the Riff game. Now, last time, nobody guessed all three. But I'm going to go ahead and play the three clips again. And if anybody can name the artist and the song for all three of these clips, they can either type in or Skype in or whatever, and you can win a prize, folks. A real prize. I give away real prizes. All right, so here's the clips. Sorry about the volume on the last one there. That was pretty bad, wasn't it? The two easy ones today and one hard one. So if anybody knows what those are, then please feel free to Skype in or indeed to type in and find out what, let us know if you know what these things are. So anyway, going back to what I was talking about, I'm going to be going out, like I said, we're going to be going out canoeing. Now, this is one of the things that I really, really enjoy doing because you get out and there's no way to describe it. You know, a lot of people will do this here in the summer because it gets so hot here. And, you know, just what we do generally is float. We don't do a lot of this speed. We don't try to speed our way down the river. And we spend a lot of time just kind of letting the river take us where it will. Obviously, you don't want to run into rocks or trees or anything like that. But one thing I found out, interestingly enough, there are geocaches along the river. So that's pretty cool. I mean, to me, anyway, it's really kind of a neat idea that people actually hide these things where you can only get to them using a canoe. So that I'm looking forward to that. I really am, because it really is one of my favorite things to do. In addition to the long-distance hiking, I really enjoy going out in a canoe and just kind of floating and relaxing and hopefully not getting sunburned, because it is beautiful outside right now here in Illinois. It is. We've got spotless blue skies today. And I just think that that's really, really, really cool. and it'll be nice to get outside. Because, honestly, I haven't had a lot of time other than my vacation. I went to Minnesota a couple of weeks ago. And Suco, thanks very much. Suco covered for me. I know I talked about this a little bit last week on the program, but because of the various sound problems, there's no record of it anywhere. There's no recording. I didn't save it because it had to get chopped up so much. But anyway, I went on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I was gone for two different shows. And the lovely Suco from New York actually covered for me. And she, very interesting show. I thought, really, you know, one of them didn't get recorded, but the second one, which was the one from August 14th, she had Stacey White on, along with her husband Jerry, and they were talking about their sort of police philosophy. Very, very interesting show that was. And I have a message here. Oh, I have a message here from Suco saying, "Sorry I can't listen live today, Tom. We have a reunion today. Getting it all together. Have a great show." yeah, absolutely. I understand. You know, I was gone for 2 weeks, and Suco covered for me, and it was fantastic. We have a message here. Hang on just a moment. Skype is being a little bit slow. Okay, we have a message here from Alice. Hello, Alice. I heard you had messaged Chris's show last week. Judge probably decided for the buyers, as the auctioneers should have checked ownership before the clock was sold. Okay, that's one take on it. We'll find out at the end of the show whether or not you're correct. So thanks very much. If anyone would like to call in, please feel free to do so. Otherwise, I'm going to move on to Oscar's favorite feature, Today in History. All right. So, before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and play a trail here, because I keep forgetting to play the trails, folks. And we have other presenters here on United Kingdom Radio, and I think they all deserve your support. So let's go ahead and play a couple of trails here. Here we go.
Hello, join me, Sean Richards, on United Kingdom Radio. I'll have some weird and wonderful chit-chat, jokes, funny facts, phone calls, and Skype calls. And, if you're all good, a competition. No prizes, it's just for fun. So come and join me on United Kingdom Radio every Saturday between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. See you soon.
Thursdays from 8 p.m. on United Kingdom Radio is the mouth of the Tyne. That's with me, your host, Mike Cullen. This is what we've been talking about so far. Katie Price is pregnant. No, she's not. She reckons she's pregnant, but she's not really. And what did you think of the programme Katie and Alex? What did you think when Peter Andre had his own series, Peter Andre, The Next Chapter? The Next Chapter. It was a load of rubbish. Absolute and utter claptrap.
Why has he been evicted?
Because he's only got 6 months left on his tenancy agreement.
If he's still got 6 months, he cannot be evicted.
Yeah, so he's got 6 months
to go. Not evicted. He will have to be rehoused in 6 months' time.
But they're not going to rehouse him, though. That's the thing.
They can't evict him. Unless he has breached his tenancy agreement, they cannot evict him.
But that's what they're going to do, man. They're going to turf him out. All that and more on the Mouth of the Tyne Thursdays on United Kingdom Radio from 8 p.m.
I love it.
And yes, indeed, that was Sean and Mike, two of the new presenters here on United Kingdom Radio. The family is growing, folks. We have more and more people coming on all the time, which is fantastic. I'm really, really loving this. I'm really, you know, it's really nice to see how we've grown so much since I actually started here on United Kingdom Radio back in, I think my first show was back in May, wasn't it? May, I think it was, yeah. No, it was in April. April 24th was indeed my first show here. And so I really, really am enjoying these new presenters, because I think that everybody has their own take on things. And of course, isn't that what it's all about? As Chris Reardon would say, the whole thing is about sharing stories. And I think that everybody has something to offer here. So very, very pleased with these new presenters, and I'm really, really enjoying everybody. I'm still way behind, though, on my podcast, because when I was gone, I got behind on everything, and now I'm still not quite caught up. But anyway, going to move on now. I'm going to do, before I do Today in History, I'm going to go ahead and do our newest feature, Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Live from the Whiskey Glass Studios, it's...
Chris Reardon.
Chris Reardon has decreed.
I love it.
And this week on Chris Reardon has decreed, this is what Chris has decreed.
I don't want you having my credit card number and start ordering stuff off Amazon.
And that was Chris Reardon has decreed for this week. Stay tuned, because next week you may hear Chris say something like this.
Do you really think one of those poor little donkeys would want to carry you?
I just love that maniacal laughter at the end. That is indeed Chris Reardon, and that is Chris Reardon has decreed for this week. All right, moving on, since we don't seem to be getting any callers today. That's fine. You know, I do like the callers, but, you know, we can live without calls if we need to. Today in history, for August 28th of 2010, on this day in history, in 476 A.D., the Western Roman Empire formally disbanded. That must have been a really weird time to live through. In 1565, St. Augustine, Florida was established. That is the oldest city here in the continental U.S. If you've ever been to St. Augustine, it's a really kind of interesting place. It's sort of in the northern part of Florida, over on the east coast. And the Spanish actually established this as a fort. And they that was sort of their base of operations for that part of the what's now the United States. And St. Augustine is still there. The fort itself is still there. And you can go visit it. And it's kind of, you know, you look at it now and it's kind of a ruin. It's kind of small. But it's interesting to see nonetheless. And, you know, it's interesting to think a lot of people who live here in the U.S., don't think of the history that took place before 1776, back when we were a colony. And even before that, before we were a colony, just when you had the first explorers here who were just, you know, kind of figuring out what was here. In 1850, Richard Wagner's Lohengrin was performed for the first time in Weimar, Germany. That was in 1850. In 1883, slavery was banned throughout the British Empire. Now, I think slavery had actually been banned in the 1840s in England itself, but it's interesting that they waited that long in the rest of the empire. And of course, we banned slavery here in 1865. That was the year that the President Lincoln freed the slaves here in America. In 1884, the first photograph of a tornado was taken in Howard, South Dakota. That was going out special here to my friend Michael Moss, who loves tornadoes and hurricanes and all that sort of weather. So that's just for you there, Michael. In 1920, the 19th Amendment guaranteed women's rights here in the United States. They received the right to vote and so forth. And can you believe it was as recently as 1920? You know, it just seems unbelievable that you know, it had taken so long. In 1957, Strom Thurmond began a 24-hour filibuster against the Civil Rights Bill. And, of course, he was a Dixiecrat. He was one of these conservative Southern Democrats, Breck, in the 1950s, who didn't want, you know, us to give equal rights to African-American people. And they actually stood up and spoke for 24 hours on the floor of the Senate trying to block this bill. And eventually the bill did pass. But, you know, that's one thing. And I'm going to get a little bit political here for a second, because we still have this thing called the filibuster here in the United States. And basically what this means is that one member of the Senate, because we have the sort of, you know, bicameral legislature here, we have the House of Representatives and the Senate. And the Senate can, any senator can block a piece of legislation by declaring a filibuster against it. Basically, the filibuster is you have to allow everybody to have their say on a particular item. And you have to be able to, you know, go on and on and on and explain why you don't support this, why we shouldn't pass this, etc. It's part of the checks and balances in our congressional system. So you can have some, you know, if you have a law that there's a one section of the population is greatly opposed to, you know, somebody can get up and actually speak for as long as it takes. Now, one of the things that they've done away with in the last few Congresses, yeah, because every time a new Congress convenes, they kind of change the rules a little bit and say, you know, and one of the annoying rules that they have now is that in order to avoid filibuster, it's gotten to the point where, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what is going on, if the Democrats have actually came up with a law that they want passed, they need 60 votes to pass it instead of the 50 that they would normally need. And I think that they should do away with that. And it has to do with the filibuster, because what they've done away with is the responsibility of the people who are calling the filibuster to actually do the filibuster. I think that if you want to block a piece of legislation, that you should be allowed to filibuster it. But you actually have to go on the floor of the Senate and talk for 24 hours if need be to block this legislation. They should actually be required to filibuster rather than just announcing their intention to filibuster and having it stand. And it's kind of a pet peeve of mine right now, because it's actually keeping us from getting a lot of these reforms and things done that we need to get done. Because, you know, this country was ran into the ground between 2000 and 2008. And we're still dealing with the fallout of that. Anyway, I got a message here from Zach. Hello, Zach. It has been 40 years since Australian women and Aboriginal Australians got the right to vote. Yeah, so 40 years would be 1970, I guess. Yeah, 1970. So, yeah, it's amazing, you know, because a lot of this stuff has kind of snowballed. Because I think the civil rights movement in America, in, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, inspired a lot of other countries, the minorities in a lot of other countries, to kind of agitate for their rights. And it's funny that's happened. Anyway, moving back to the topic at hand, in 1962, Tony Sheridan and the Beat Boys recorded the song Ya Ya. Now, that's interesting because the Beat Boys was actually a pseudonym for somebody who's much more famous. Does anybody know what that is? Yes, you're correct. It is the Beatles. That was the first record that they recorded with Tony Sheridan. I believe that the flip side of that single was My Bonnie, which is a song that the Beatles would play in Hamburg about the same time. In 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech on the Mall in Washington, D.C., which was a key speech in the civil rights movement. All right, so that's it for the history of today in history. Sorry about that. And if you have your birthday today on August 28th, you are sharing your birthday with several famous people throughout history. George Villiers, the first Duke of Buckingham, who was born in 1592. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. See, notice how I pronounced that properly. I don't say Goethe. Wolfie Goethe. The very famous German philosopher Goethe was born today in 1749. In 1828, Leo Tolstoy, who wrote War and Peace, he was born. In 1917, Jack Kirby, the comic book artist, was born in New York City. In 1921, Nancy Culp, who played Miss Hathaway on the Beverly Hillbillies. Do they show the Beverly Hillbillies over in the UK? I'd like to hear that. You know, because I haven't seen it for a long time. You know, of course, everything now is available on DVD. That's the way to see old TV shows today, is you get it on DVD, and then you can watch it. But it used to be that they would show reruns of all these old shows on television. I suppose that probably Nickelodeon or Nick at Night or TV Land, those various networks, will still show the old shows. But anyway, in 1932, Noriyuki Morita, Pat Morita was born. He was Mr. Miyagi in the Karate Kid film, the original Karate Kid film. You know, wax on, wax off, that, all that. And in 1953, Gates McFadden. For you Trekkies out there, you'll all know that Gates McFadden was Dr. Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation. And I have to say, my favorite of the Star Trek series overall. I know we have some Star Trek fans out there, and if you don't agree with... I know, what's interesting, you know, I've heard Chris talk about this, because Chris is a Trekkie. We all know that Chris loves Star Trek. And, Alice says that they had the Beverly Hillbillies in the UK. That's good to hear. It's one of those shows that it's sort of a guilty pleasure. And because the show is so silly, I don't know if anybody actually, but I hope nobody in the UK actually thought that Hillbillies were really like that. I don't. It's one of those guilty pleasures. There's a lot of shows out there that were popular when I was a kid, like the Beverly Hillbillies and I Dream of Jeannie. You know, it's kind of shows that were very, very, very silly in the very concept of it. But, you know, people didn't care about, you know, whether shows made sense back then. They just cared about making people laugh. And I think that there's some element of that still today. But I think nowadays when in American programming, now I don't watch TV, so I'm not up on all the most popular series today. For example, I've only seen a few episodes of Lost. That was the big one that was such a big deal when it ended this past year. Alice says they thought all Americans were like that. Oh, yeah. I would rather be like Mr. Drysdale, the banker. That's how all Americans were back then. Well, if you remember Miss Hathaway, she was the sort of gawky secretary to Mr. Drysdale who kind of tried to get the Clampets, the Hillbillies, to keep investing their money in Drysdale's bank. And that was sort of and I think she's passed away now. I think all those people are dead now. It's funny. You go back and watching these old sitcoms and realizing, gosh, almost everybody in these shows is dead now. Zach says, I find it funny how the new Karate Kid is about a guy teaching a kid kung fu. Yeah, I didn't like that either, and I haven't seen the film. But it is funny, and I think that the only reason why they did it was because the studio owned the name, you know, to use it as a film. And they wanted to actually tie it to the old franchise somehow. I mean, it seems to me that it's not even close to being the same thing. I think originally they were supposed to call it the Kung Fu Kid, which would have made a lot more sense. But if the name's available, then they felt obligated to use it. And what a shame. Now, I actually saw a movie last week, which is unusual because I don't go see movies very often. I went to go see Scott Pilgrim versus the World with my boyfriend Pete. Now, this was a really interesting film because I had not read the original comic book that it was based on. I talked a little bit about this on my pre-recorded show, incidentally. If you want to hear my full review of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, you can go to my website, which is TomHarrisUSA.com, and it is actually reviewed in episode number 100. So anyway, we don't go see a lot of movies, but I do think it's interesting. I think that was kind of a shameless plug. You know, they're trying to tie it to something that is much beloved in a certain generation. You know, I was an adult when those Karate Kid films came out. I think there were three of them, or was it four? Because I know there was one with a girl Karate Kid, and I don't remember if that was a third one or a fourth one. I just don't remember. If anybody knows the answer to that, please feel free to Skype in, or indeed to text in, and let us know what you think. Right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the clips again, the musical clips. Once again, you have to know the artist and the name of the song. And if you get all three of them, then you win a prize. So here we go. Here's clip number one once again. There are the three clips for the Name the Riff game. And as always, if you know all three, just feel free to contact the show. Funny how quiet things are today. There seem to be people around, but nobody seems to want to call. I guess that's no big deal. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and move on then. And if anybody, of course, wants to talk about anything... Oh, Zach says, the Karate Kid thing seems fair enough. All right. I have this fondness for a lot of the new movies that are coming out in 3D. And it really is kind of a cool... And not some of the ones that weren't meant to be in 3D. I know that I haven't seen Toy Story 3. I'm going to see it eventually, but I think it's out of the theater already here. I haven't seen it. But I really enjoy this whole 3D thing because I think the technology for this has just come way, way beyond what it was back when I was a kid. Because I remember when I was a teenager, they tried to bring back 3D movies. And that was back in the days when you had these 3D glasses that were... They were basically made of cardboard, and on one side you had a piece of red cellophane, and on the other side you had a piece of green cellophane, and it would kind of make everything look really wonky. And the 3D wasn't very convincing, and it's amazing some of the stuff that they have done with this new technology of 3D. And we had the first one that I saw of this new kind of revival of 3D movies is a Neil Gaiman script called Mirror Mask. I don't know if anybody else has seen that. I saw it, you know, it wasn't in wide release here in the country. I love Neil Gaiman, incidentally. He's a writer who's very well known for his work in comics. And I am a comics aficionado from way back, so I'm very familiar with his comic book work. And Mirror Mask was actually an illustrated book that he did with the artist Dave McKean. And they did this... Zach says, the third one seems like an 80s or 90s cop show. How am I doing? Don't get us mixed up with Paul Edwards. This is not TV theme songs. This is actual real songs, like done by musicians and stuff. I will give you a hint on the third one, because it is kind of a hard one. But I will tell you that this group... actually recorded with one of Chris Reardon's favorite singers, Shirley Bassey. So that'll give you a clue there for the third clip. Zach says, have you seen Avatar in 3D? It was awesome. So was Toy Story. No, that's another one I haven't seen. And I don't know why. I think, you know, because we had kind of thought about going to see it, and we were going to go see it, and then all of a sudden it was gone, so we never managed to do that. We did see... Bolt, that was in 3D. That was a cute little movie. Then we went to go see Coraline, which was another Neil Gaiman. Speaking of Neil Gaiman, it was another Neil Gaiman script, and that one I thought was awesome in 3D. I think just had it. They got it right from the very, very start, and. I'm being corrected here. Pete Skokie says Coraline was in 3D, not Mirror Mask. I thought Mirror Mask was in 3D for some reason. I guess I was wrong. But that's always possible, folks. Even I can be wrong from time to time. Well, it's good to know that Pete is out there listening. Pete, if you leave the house right now, you might get here in time for the end of the show. That's my boyfriend, Pete, of course. Okay, Alice says, the next Karate Kid, 1994, was Hilary Swank. Yeah. Okay, sorry for the delay, was just... Oh, okay. Alice is saying, sorry for the delay, I was just reading about two rallies taking place in Washington, D.C. on the site of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Yeah, I heard about that. One of them is you know, the Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin thing. What I thought was really funny about that is that, you know, the Ustream, I was getting ready to come on the show and talk, and... They had a promo on there, and it says that the Glenn Beck Sarah Palin rally in Washington, D.C. is a non-political event. Okay. I don't quite know if I'm quite buying that. Zach says, okay, thanks. It doesn't help, but thanks anyway. Oh, I guess that was about the clue that I gave for musical clip number three. Okay. A lot of people don't get the And Pete, yes, is verifying that Mirror Mask was indeed not in 3D. Okay. Then the other 3D movie that we saw recently was Alice in Wonderland. And that one, I think, was, I think, a weaker movie overall. But I enjoyed the 3D aspect of it. I think that there was a lot of, there were a lot of problems with that movie. Especially script-wise, and some of the cutesy stuff that they kind of threw into that. But, you know, if you're going for the spectacle, just the flashiness of it, the art of it, then I think that that's a terrific thing. I think that, you know, you can appreciate it on that level and not actually, not really like the script so much. But I can remember the, you know, the sort of the fight scenes with the Jabberwocky, which I thought was really, really interesting. And they had the card armies, and, you know, a lot of the art design in Alice in Wonderland was fantastic. There's no doubting that. As far as spectacle goes, it was pretty impressive. The things I didn't like in that were things like the Johnny Depp dance. The magical Johnny Depp dance, the Farfignugan, or whatever the heck it was called. I don't remember, folks. It's been weeks since I've seen that film. But I was thinking there was another movie that we'd seen in 3D, and I can't remember. I know that there was one. And this was at Great American. So this was at Six Flags, and we saw it back last Halloween time. They have this little short 3D film that you can go in and see. It's a haunted house thing. And that was kind of cool. It was very silly. A very, very silly film. But the 3D effects in that were pretty good. Now, has anybody actually bought one of these 3D TVs that's out there now? We went out to Best Buy a couple of weeks ago. And Pete and I were shopping. I think we were looking for... I forget what we're looking for. I think it was the GPS update kit for my GPS. But we were looking at this 3D television that they had there, and the thing didn't work. The 3D on it didn't work. You could see that it was being broadcast in 3D, and we had the glasses there, but you put the glasses on, and you didn't see the 3D. And I kind of wonder, who would pay like $5,000 for this 3D television, and you can't even be sure that the 3D is going to work? I kind of wonder about that. Now, I wonder with this the TV, because obviously the networks aren't broadcasting in 3D, so they've got to fake it somehow, don't they? So do they have it so that it broadcasts shows in a 3D format, and that you need glasses to make it, but kind of be a fake 3D? Or is it something that... I have a message. I'll read it in a second. But the fake 3D effect... And you kind of wonder here about this. What if the TV companies, the people who actually put out broadcasting, broadcast stuff in 3D? Could you find yourself in a situation with this 3D television where... each network has their own 3D process. So you would need a different pair of 3D glasses for each one of the shows that you watch. Could you find yourself... And then they would charge like, you know, $100 for the glasses. It'd be like this proprietary technology that you would have to buy these really expensive 3D glasses in order to be able to watch their programming. It's kind of an interesting thought anyway. Okay, so Oscar says, Tom Harris is the Grizzly Adams of United Kingdom Radio. Oh, yes. You know, that's funny that Oscar seems to be obsessed by my beard. I have to admit, what before I started on United Kingdom Radio, I started in the springtime, and over the winter, I let my beard get very, very long. And it wasn't like Santa Claus long. It wasn't, you know, that long. But it's kind of bushy, and then shortly after I started the show, I actually chopped it way down, and it's kind of getting shaggy again. But anyway, Oscar seems to think that the beard is the most important part of the show. Anyway, we love Oscar. Oscar, if you want to call in, please feel free to do so. He says, not sure about the judge for yourself puzzle. Sounds like a question of joint ownership rights, With joint bank accounts, you get different kinds where one or both can authorize transactions. In order to avoid confusion, it would be best not to allow women to own property, just to be property. Oh, that's shocking. Oh, my goodness me. I think Oscar is our resident misogynist. Actually, we're going to do the answer to the judge for yourself puzzle because we're getting towards the end of the show. I just want to read off this next message from Zach. Zach says, the good 3D TVs haven't come to Australia yet, and even then they're too expensive. Yeah, I would agree with that. And judging from our experience at Best Buy, when we're actually looking at these 3D TVs, I would have to say we really need to wait until the technology. I don't even have a regular TV, so it doesn't really affect me at all. But I would not spend the $5,000 to buy one of these 3D TVs because the technology is still clearly not up to snuff. And if you're going to have 3D TV, you need it to actually work consistently. Now, the flip side of that, this is kind of one of these cerebral topics. The flip side of that is that when you have the, you have a technology that's new, you actually sort of rely on people who are these early adopters to go out and buy that 3D TV in order to improve the technology, because they make the money off of that investment that they spent developing this in order to, and then they invest that money into improving the product and making it more consumer friendly. And if nobody buys it, then they're going to, the company is going to say, well, nobody wants 3D TV. They're not going to say, well, they want 3D TV, but they want something better. Because really, obviously in business, it's all about the bottom line and all about, making the money. And if they don't make the money, they're not going to improve it. But that being said, I'm not going to buy a 3D TV, at least until all TV is 3D probably. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close out Judge for Yourself here. I'm going to play the first part again just to remind people what the Judge for Yourself was this week. And then I will go and play the solution. So here we go. Here's Judge for Yourself, part one.
Judge for Yourself. This is the case of Without Consent. Barbara donated a grandfather clock that was a family heirloom to a hospital fundraiser. The clock was auctioned off to the Turners. However, before the transaction could be completed, Barbara's sister Clara, who was co-owner of the clock, found out about the donation and protested to the auctioneer that Barbara had no right to sell the clock without Clara's consent. The Turners contested the auctioneer's decision to rescind the transaction. And the Turners were the people who bought it at auction. Did the court rule for or against the Turners?
Any final thoughts on that? Please text in, and we'll play in just a moment the solution to that, if anybody has any other thoughts on that. And thanks, incidentally, to Scott Mitchell from scottpodcast.com, who actually created these for me. I still have a few left, depending on whether or not I get response to these, I'll keep playing them. I'm really, really looking forward to some of the new stuff. One of the things that when I say stuff, I talk about podcast stuff I've got going on, and I've talked about this a little bit because with my podcast kind of going on hiatus for a while, I'm trying some new things. One of the things that I'm doing, of course, is I'm going to try to make some changes to this program, because I think that what this show has been in a lot of cases is sort of a quick and dirty, on the seat of your pants kind of show. And there's a lot of excitement in doing that kind of a show. But of course, you are highly dependent on people calling and so forth. And I don't need callers to do a show, but it is always nice to have them. So I'm not seeing any responses to any final thoughts on the Judge for Yourself. So here's the solution to the Judge for Yourself puzzle. Here we go.
The court ruled against the Turners because the misrepresentation of an important fact, such as showing good title, negates sale. It does not matter whether the bidding was closed or not. So basically, in order to sell something legal schmeagle, you have to have title to what you're selling.
That's a shock. So that was Judge for Yourself for the week. And I'm going to go ahead and play another couple trails. You know, I keep forgetting to do this. Because, you know, I love all the shows and I listen to all the shows. But, you know, people... Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play some trails here.
Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, or just has something on your mind, I'm Stacy White from Oklahoma in the United States. Now, live on United Kingdom Radio on Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come join me and talk about anything and everything. Talk, talk, and more talk, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays on United Kingdom Radio.
Don't cut me off!
Hi, it's Suko. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Suko. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait, did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
And that was the lovely Suko there, and Stacy before that. Now, if you're here live on United Kingdom Radio, stay tuned for Sean Riches. He comes on at 5 p.m., which, of course, is 11 a.m. my time. So, and I'm sure that he has a lot of stuff planned for you, and that'll be exciting to hear. I am enjoying, like I said, I'm really enjoying these new presenters. And, of course, I'm looking forward to more. You know, that we do have a lot of people who have expressed interest in doing shows. And I really, really, really enjoy the variety of programming. And people have noticed probably that there's some presenters who are not on the schedule this week. And that, you know, without going into too much detail, people come and people go. And I really like to think of that as sort of the natural growth process of United Kingdom Radio. As you have new people come in, you have old people leave. And I want to, you know, I know that there's been some speculation about this because that people haven't always been very upfront about talking about it on their programs. But I just want to say, you know, we're all still friends here, folks, even when people leave the station and go off and do their own thing. It's not a matter of, you know, these fierce arguments and people leaving and there being a lot of bad blood. There isn't. You know, I wish the, you know, Mikey and Ross great luck in everything they do. They obviously still calling in to our shows, and we're calling into theirs, and we're all still good friends. But, you know, when the editorial policy of the station, you know, gets a little bit tighter, there are always going to be some people who don't, they kind of chafe under certain rules and things. I don't think it's a problem for most people, but, you know, I don't want anybody to think that there's anything horribly amiss here at United Kingdom Radio, because of course there isn't. We're all still friends and everything goes on as well. All right, so that's my two cents. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And Sean Riches is on next. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next week.